Good morning, everyone. Needless to say, I'm just a tad bit nervous. I don't really know why, because you know I taught at Baker College for a few years, so you know I should be used to speaking in front of people, you know. But you know the topic is a little bit different than what I taught. So a few months back, I think it was sometime in April, and I was having a conversation. I think it was with Jade, but I can't really say for sure, but we were having a discussion about the upcoming warmer months and you know, getting to go to the beach, getting a tan, and I says, boy, remember that one summer? I got so dark. I said, matter of fact, I said, I bet you I got darker than Sarah. Just to let you know, Sarah wasn't anywhere near this conversation, but she heard that. And she made a beeline for me, and so that day we made a bet, a little friendly wager, and that was to see, you know, who could get the most glowing by the end of summer. So it ended up, we did end up tying, but the payment was I get to be up here, and, you know, she of course, her payment was I get to get a massage, so... Anyway, I just want you guys to know that it really is a privilege to be up here. You know, I really hemmed and hawed about what I wanted to speak about today. You know, I have a lot of things on my heart. But God just said, you know, there's some things in your life that you went through, and there's somebody that needs to hear it. So today, you know, my discussion kind of, you know, have you ever heard of Monday Night WWE Wrestling, you know, that Monday Night Raw? Well, consider it today being, you know, Paulette Bott and Raw. I'm going to talk about a few things that, you know, they're hard to talk about, but there's something that I really want to talk about. So hitting rock bottom, you know, one of the very first verses in the first song was, stumbling around in the darkness. And if that didn't hit my topic today, I don't know what does. It's what are you going to do when you hit that rock bottom? You know, no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're going through, God is not finished yet. And you can't forget that. God's not finished, so don't give up. It's so funny because the last couple of weeks, I've had these wild animals coming across my yard. And I thought, well, maybe there's something symbolic about this. But last week, it was a bobcat. And I happened to look up, you know, just symbolisms and stuff like that. And you know, a bobcat symbolizes, you know, stealth and silent, good listener. And that's something that I think is very important, is to listen and be silent and you know, don't ignore the signs that God is trying to tell you. Have you ever spelt silent and listen? They're spelt with the exact same letters. So I, you know, that's kind of a point that I really want to make. Listen to him, and you know, if that path is constantly being blocked by a tree, don't keep going down that path. Now, this week was a coyote, and I'm like, okay, so what is that? Well, I looked that up, and one of the words was Transformers, and it made me think of a couple weeks ago we were at this conference down in Grand Rapids, and one of the speakers talked about, you know, God transforms you when you're at your lowest. That's when he does his best work. So I don't know. He had a cute little saying, but I can't remember. But it had to do with Transformers, you know. It made me think of the cartoon. You know, my upbringing was, you know, I kind of considered it normal. I grew up in a family of five. You know, my parents are still together to this day, and I considered my family life normal. They both had jobs. We had everything that we needed. You know, but we didn't have that. Now, I didn't realize this until the older I got, but we didn't have that that mushy, gushy, ooh, I love you, huggy, kissy. You know, it just wasn't that in my family. It was, hey, you know. And I would go to some of my friends' homes, and there'd just be this hugging and kissing, and I thought, that is so weird, you know, that, you know, there just wasn't a lot of that in my family. My dad especially was, you know, pretty distant. He just, you know, I think it was the way he was raised, and it's just this vicious cycle. He was distant and very short and curt and didn't really, you know, have a whole lot to say. And something that I read recently was that, and I think Sarah talked to me about it one time, is that, you know, I think that, you know, to make fathers distant, unloving, ineffective is almost a goal of Satan. Because, you know, if a father is distant, you know, ineffective, unloving, even abusive, we tend to believe that all fathers are like that, even our Heavenly Father. So our relationship with Him isn't going to be as effective as it should be. You know, and I kind of thought about that, and it really does ring true. My relationship with God really has been more of a brain thing. You know, I knew that there was a God, and I knew that Jesus died for us, and I knew that up here, but I didn't know it in here. And I think that until you know it in here and believe it and just live that life, you know, it just things just aren't, they're not, they don't move smoothly in your life. And so in the last couple of years, that's something that has really come about with me, is that I no longer just know it up here. I know it in here, and I believe it in here. You know, when I was, you know, they always say that God has a plan. And, well, let me tell you, I was not in my parents' plan. I was a big, big surprise to them. And, you know, they, you know, the Bible says that God knows you. That's right. Before you were even, you know, thought of. So he has a plan for my life, and the plan is still living out. But you know, I a couple of weeks ago I read this story about abortion. It was it was about a physician that was just talking about the different stages of pregnancy and abortion, and it was very, very difficult for me to watch on many levels. But what really occurred to me was a part of the story was about how, you know, back in the day, they didn't have all the technology that we have today. And, you know, because today they'll do an ultrasound and they'll be like, ooh, we're seeing all these things popping up. Blood tests will come back and they'll say, you know, I'm just not sure that this baby's going to be normal. And so you've got these doctors that are just feeding you all this stuff. And I was born with many, many abnormalities. Some you can see and some you can't see. And I thought to myself, what if technology had been what it is today back then? And these doctors said to my mom, you know, she's missing this, and she's missing this, and, you know, her whole left side is just a mess. You know, she's probably not going to be able to walk when she's born. She's, you know, what if they had decided, well, this isn't worth it. I wouldn't be here today. So, again, I say to you, God has a plan, and he has big plans for me, and he has had plans. I mean, it's been, you know, quite a life I've been living. And, you know, so because of these, you know, various things throughout life, I was I kind of want like to stay in the corner. I didn't really want any attention brought to myself, you know, because then people would look at me. So I was the quiet one. I was the one that sat in the corner. I didn't cause arguments with my friends. I was everybody's friend because, you know, I didn't want to get involved in that. I didn't want to be at the front. So that's why getting up here is a little hard for me, you know, but I just know that my story is one that's going to help other people. I think everything that we go through in life, there is always going to be someone that's going to be affected and that it's going to change. Something's going to change for them. You know, as far as my beliefs go, you know, it can't be wishy-washy. That's something I've learned too. I can't, okay, this day I am all about it, you know, and I am reading my Bible and I'm, you know, I'm praying every day, and then all of a sudden the next day you're having lunch with, you know, oh, Susie, and she isn't quite as a believer as you are, and you're like, ooh. So you just sit there and she starts talking about something and you're like, I really should correct her and say something, but you don't. So, you know, you got to stand your ground. You got to show your faith. And I think if you show your faith, it spreads out, it emanates from you. And, you know, they're like, huh, that's kind of been happening with me a lot lately. You know, I think a lot of people look at me now, and are like, what has gotten into her? You know, some people think it's a good thing and some people don't. And I can't change the way they, you know, the way they feel and the way they perceive me. I know that I'm doing good and I'm, you know, I'm going to continue to walk in the walk that I'm in, you know, having the faith and counting on God to always be there for me. You know, I went to work the other day and I always, my time is in the morning. That's when I like to just sit down with my tablet. I open up my Bible app and I read. I'll read plans, I'll read verses. And I went to work the other day and this nurse, she says, she happens to follow me on this little app. And she goes, what time do you get up in the morning? And I said, well, you know, I get up in plenty of time. You know, I like to have my coffee and sit and read my app. And she says, well, you know, she goes, you get up like really early. And I said, you know, that's my time. And that's the time that I dedicate. Now I'm not saying that there's not other times of the day, but I'm telling you, first thing in the morning, that sets my pace for the day. I go to work and I have a smile on my face when I get there, and it makes some people sick, to be honest with you, because they don't want to see that happy, let's get the day going. But nonetheless, it was just funny that she said that. And I'm going to bring that topic of that Bible app up a little bit later because of this morning, what I read. But so this picture here, has anyone ever felt like this? I don't know if that's still on. Anyway, so let me tell you, I have felt like this. And, you know, there was a time in my life where I had a guardian angel assigned to me. It was about 2.5 years of my life. And I can tell you that she earned her wings 100 times over. If I could live in... Or let's put it this way, if I could walk the wrong path as many times as I possibly could, I did it in those 2.5 years. And I'm pretty sure she went into retirement at the end. Because I did not do things. You know, that's why I think a lot of people look at me today and they're like, who does she think she is? You know, look at the way she lived. You know, look at the things she did. You know, I thought I had a really good life going, you know, for a while. And, you know, I had the good job. I love my job. And, you know, I was married. I had a family. just, I finally got my house I've always dreamed about. You know, things were going great, just great. And then all of a sudden, the big D. That one part of my life that wasn't good, I won't talk about it today, but that part of my life led to a divorce. And, you know, I am not proud of that at all, because divorce brings so much heartache, and it brings heartache to everybody. You know, to the two of you, to your kids, to your parents, to your friends, it just, there's just, it's a lot of sadness. And, you know, and it's just a part of my life that, you know, I've come to terms with, and you can't dwell on it. But that was the beginning of my spiral down. You know, I found myself as a single working mom, and the bills just kept coming in, and it was just becoming overwhelming. I was hanging out with, you know, people that said, well, let's go do this and let's go do that, and things I had never done in my life. Again, this whole walking down the wrong path. I would find myself at places and in situations that I never would have done before. I look back at that time and I'm like, what an embarrassment I must have been, you know, to my family and to some of my friends. You know, I grew to figure out how to, you know, borrow from Peter to pay Paul on my bills. They just kept coming in and coming in and coming in. And you know how we just, I think credit cards, you have this like love-hate relationship with credit cards, because, you know, I loved them because it allowed me to eat. It allowed me to pay for gas to get back and forth to work so that I could keep getting my paycheck so I could pay these bills that I didn't have enough money to pay for. And so then all of a sudden those were maxed out. And you're like, you know, what am I going to do now? And, you know, so then the phone calls started coming. You know, they love to give you the money. They're so nice and happy on the phone. They'll give you that money. But then when it comes time, they want their money back. They're not nice at all. And it was back when I had a landline. I mean, nowadays, I don't know how many people have a landline. But I remember one day I was so sick of that phone ringing. I walked over to the wall and I went, boop. I said, that's it. I'm not listening to that phone ring anymore. And it was just this blissful silence. And I thought, oh, this is good. You know, they don't have my cell phone. So I'm good. I'm good for a while. Yeah, well, I forgot about the mail, the snail mail. And all of a sudden, what did I get in the mail? A court notice. I had to appear at court, or I had to pay this. So here I am. Now I'm dealing with that. And I'm like, what did I do to deserve this? You know, I'm trying to keep the happy face on for my kids and for my friends, and you know, they don't realize what I'm going through, because who really wants to know that, you know? And somehow I figured that out, you know, because I was still robbing Peter to pay Paul somehow. And then I remember one night, I work in surgery at a hospital. And it requires me to take call. So your call time, you know, your response time has to be, you know, 15, 20 minutes. You got to be there. You know, it could be anything going on. And I remember one night that I went to bed that night. I was on call and didn't get called in. I got up the next morning to let my dogs out, like I do every morning. Open the door, let him out. Guess what was no longer in my driveway? My car. I'm freaking out, thinking, somebody stole my car. Yeah, Mr. Repo Man came and stole my car. And I thought to myself, I have finally met the rock bottom. I thought, what had happened? Here's another what if. Here's another what if. What had happened if at 2 a.m. my phone or my pager went off? I had a stat C-section. And I couldn't get there because I didn't have a car in my driveway. And what if that baby didn't make it because I didn't have a car? So it hit me that night. I thought, I am the biggest failure that ever lived. I mean, now I've got strangers that are affected by my decisions that I've made in my life. And again, I keep saying to myself, and I keep looking up, and I'm like, what did I do? What did I do to deserve this? So, I couldn't get the image out of my head of a patient dying because of what I'd done. And because of the decisions that I'd been making and where my life had gotten to. So I just thought to myself, my life really wasn't worth it anymore because I was a failure. And it was that moment I decided that it'd just be better off if I wasn't here. And, you know, I had almost this calming feeling come over me because I finally made a decision that I thought would be the best for everyone. And, you know, ending it all was what I felt was the best thing to do. So I go to bed that night. And I close my eyes. And I bet you can just imagine the image that was placed before me. These are my daughters. And, you know, those people that are really close to me know that to get these two girls is an absolute miracle for me. I went through several losses to get the two blessings that I got. And I didn't realize it that night when those were the images that were placed before me when I went to bed. But I do now. And what God was saying to me that night was, I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished with you. You and I have a partnership. We have so much to do. Those girls need you. There are people in this world that need you. And I just cried and I cried and I cried. Because I let myself get to a point where I didn't think I was worth it. And, you know, my friends didn't realize, nobody really realized the pain that I was living each and every day. I went to work with a smile on my face. Nobody ever knew anything was wrong. They didn't know the ugliness that awaited me the second I walked out of work and I had to deal with my real life. I had to go home, figure out how I was going to pay my bills. And, you know, just to reaffirm, I remember being called in one night, and it was a young girl. And she had a intestinal disease that pretty much we opened her up, and the doctor said there's absolutely nothing we can do. 30 years old. 30 years old, she had no children. And I just remember thinking, 30 years old. She can't even really, well, she can't have kids. She can't have the things that I have. So what am I thinking over here that my life's not worth it? And she can't even have a life. Because this happened just days after. And I just watched the surgeon, who I respect beyond, you know, all. I remember him walking to the surgery door. He hung his head down, and he said, "This is the part of my job I hate, talking to the family, having to tell them." I went home that night, and the girls had left one of those little handwritten, cute, you know, those things that you put on your fridge, and they had left me this paper on my pillow, and all it said was, "I love you, Mom." So, of course, the tears started again, because it's just those little things. That's God. Those little things that we ignore, that might think that they're just little things, they're actually big. And that was a big thing for me. I'll never forget that night. I came home and saw that, and I thought, they are such blessings to me. They teach me more. Jade alone, you know, teaches me more on a daily basis, and I treasure that. She is truly a gift, you know. I was always so afraid when I went through that dark time that my girls would be so damaged. You know, when I look back on it, I thought, what have I done? You know, the way I lived and the things I've done, what kind of a mom, you know, does that? And what kind of example is that? You know, I'm sure there are people that were looking at me going, what is she thinking, acting like that and having two girls? You know, they're so impressionable. I tell you, they are truly blessings. And, you know, you have to find the beauty in your brokenness. And so many things teach me, especially, you know, the girls. The little things that they do teach me that life is truly, you know, worth living. And you know, I said before that God does his best work when you're down there. He thrives because he wants to show you the gifts that you have inside. And he wants to just help you just bring them to the world and to those around you. You know, God has a plan, and we may not recognize it at first. And we certainly may not agree with it, which is bringing me to my next point. So, you know, do you ever wonder why God, you know, might impede your path? Like, you're thinking, why is there always a tree right here every time I try walking down this path? Well, that's probably because he has something a little bit greater for you in store. And like I said, you may not like it at first, and you may not agree. But I remember one night after, you know, things were starting to look up for me, and I thought, you know what? This sounds like a good night to go to the bar. Because after all, isn't that where we, you know, all the great things happen, is at the bar, right? So can you imagine my little fairy godmother angel? She just sat there like this. Have we not just been through this? And she's looking at God going, I thought you had this covered. And so she's like yanking on my shirt tail, and she's, no, that's not where you want to go. We've been there. Well, you know, I can just see God now coming down going, now you hush, my child. I got this covered. Just let her go. Let her go. I got something going on. Just let her go. So I go out to this bar. I sit down. And boop, there goes a drink right in front of me. And I looked at the bartender and I said, oh, and what fine specimen might that be from? She goes right straight behind me. And I'm like, don't know who that is. Well, it happened to be this guy right here. And now, mind you, his story and my story will probably, you know, not clash. Because remember what I said? You know, you may not agree with the plan. So we chitty-chatted for a little bit. And then I decided, you know, I thought we need to go separate ways. He'll tell you something different. But anyway, that's for another time. So we went our separate ways for a little bit. And it was New Year's Eve, 2009. And once again, there I sit all by myself. All my friends have somebody. They're off doing all this fun stuff, and there I sit, all alone. Girls were with their dad. And I flip open my phone, I go to my contacts, and whose name comes up? John. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to say Happy New Year. So I said Happy New Year, and remember how I said God has a plan? Well, on the other end of that phone, he had just prayed. He said, you know what, God? He goes, just send me someone. Just send me someone. So it's been going ever since. And I just have to say that he has taught me more in the little time that we've been together about patience, happiness, not giving up. You know, just, it's hard to explain him because he's so giving. You know, I used to always get mad at him sometimes because I'm like, do you have to be so happy all the time? Can you just let me be mad about this? And when I met him, I was, like I say, I was still going through some hard times. And I remember one night we were having a conversation, and I just told him, I said, gosh, I've had some ugly years. I said, I'm not even going to tell you about them. And I said, I'm really not worthy of, you know, a lot of things in this life. And he goes, have you ever asked God to forgive you? I said, no, because why would I do that? I mean, I was bad. And he said, all you got to do is ask him. And so we sat and we cried that night. And I'd never had anybody, never met anybody that talked to me about the Lord and the things that he could do like John did. And, you know, so when the time came, you know, when he proposed and we were engaged, we did it differently. We included God. And it makes a huge difference. Just this morning I read something about there are three people in a marriage. You gotta remember that. And you know, if it hadn't been for him, who knows? You know, I don't even think about it because see, God has a plan. And he was in those plans. You know, it hasn't always been easy, but you know what? We do it together. And, you know, it's not giving up. Last week, Kian, you know, spoke about not giving up. You know, and it reminds me of I think it's the swallow, that bird in the spring that builds those nests right when you don't want it. And you'll knock it off, and by golly, she'll come right back and build it again. She does not give up. She's going to build that nest. And he kind of looked at me last week, and he goes, "You're always saying that." You know, when things are looking bad, he said, "You're always saying, but it'll be better." And what a turnaround, because he used to be the one that said that to me. And I used to get so mad. I'm like, how do you know it's going to turn around? You know, and I just wanted to be mad. So anyway, you know, God is training us to fulfill his plan. He really is. You know, don't think that the things you've been through, you can't be embarrassed by them, because you went through them for a reason. And he brought you through them for a reason. So, you know, you may not want things done in his timing, but he's got a plan. And you know, he's just not finished with you. So just because it's not your timing doesn't mean it's not his. So we just have to be patient. You know, and, you know, waiting is courageous. Waiting is brave. It's active and it's full of experience. When we wait, lots of things happen during that time. And that's when we learn along the way. You know, waiting is, it's not like this big, huge void that we're stuck in. You know, it doesn't make us a victim of things that we can't change. It's growing, and it's the pursuit. And it cultivates strength. you know, we all have gifts. And he gave us those gifts to, like I said before, to spread to those around us. So, you know, is your environment limiting those gifts? You know, Matt spoke a few weeks ago about, you know, friends, you know, kind of condemning us for our past sins. You know, do you have friends like that? Because I know I do. And I think that was one of the things that held me back at first, was they would be over here saying, "Well, look how you lived a few years ago. What gives you the right to sit there and be all holier than thou now?" Well, because I have a forgiving Father, and he doesn't judge. You know, it reminds me of, I don't know, just we aren't the people that should be judging. And we should be the ones that are encouraging. And, you know, you have gifts, so don't limit yourself. You know, I'm sure we probably all heard about the story about there's two fishermen. One's experienced and one isn't as experienced. And the experienced one is just, he's just reeling in these humongous fish. He's like, ooh. He's tucking them away in his ice chest and just tucking them away. And over here is the inexperienced one. And he's like, humongous fish. And he's throwing them back. Finally, after about five fish, this guy goes, "What are you thinking? Why are you throwing those fish back? They're beautiful." "Well, my frying pan's only this little." So don't limit yourself. Go out and get a bigger pan. Oh, keep searching for the gifts. Yeah, good. You know, search for the promises. Claim them. Because he gives you those. They're yours. You just have to reach out and claim them. You know, so I said I was going to remind you about a verse. I don't know if anybody else, you know, has the Bible app, but I tell you what, and all the upsets that I have gone through, This one verse just speaks to me all the time, and it just reaffirmed my talk today, because I had it marked, and it was my daily verse. And it's Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And, you know, when John and I suffered a loss a few years ago, I had one of the doctors that she has since gone to a new hospital, but she sent me that verse, and it has stuck with me. And I thought, boy, that is so true. So when you are down and you think that just things, they're just not worth living for, or there's nothing I can do to change this, He's there to pick you up. He's going to save you. He does His best work when you're at your worst. So just rely on Him. Build your faith. And just remember that no matter where you are in life, God's not finished yet.